lost our network somewhere along the way here. That's why the overhead went out. But good to see some new faces and old faces, which most of us are now. young faces. So we said this maybe last time, but when I go different areas and I share the Word of God, I usually just share where I am and with the book we're going through. And because sometimes I'm asked the question, what made you bring that subject up? Well, that's where we are. And you might say that after today, but these are really practical lessons from the Word of God out of the book of 1 Timothy. In years past, and I don't know what's taught right now in seminaries, Floyd used to call it cemetery, as we remember, but they would teach out of 1 Timothy because in this word, ecclesiology, I listened to that on the internet to try to pronounce it right. I don't know if I did, but it comes from the word ecclesia. And it has to do with Christian church structure. You can look that up. And there's a lot of that in the book of 1 Timothy. There's a lot of instruction, practical instruction from the Word of God. Now, it's important that we look at that and take it in. Our brother opened up. It really helped me here today, Todd. Thank you, because the Word of God is trustworthy. It's something that we can put all our weight on. It's eternal. It's the eternal word. Now, talking about seminary, when I went to Art Center with Lou and Jan and Tony and Greg here, there's others, Suzette, if I missed anyone, I'm sorry. Carol and Lou, police. And the year was about 77 or 78. I don't know if I was with Lou or I was with one or two other brothers. And there's a group that we said they wanted to meet with us. They were from Fuller Seminary. I don't know how this came about, but we just met with them for lunch and we had a good time. Yeah, but the big thing which that became an argument, and really we didn't argue, it just seemed like to be kind of wasting time from my perspective, is the argument was over women should be the lead pastor of a church. So I'm going to ask the question, practical question here. Is there any precedence in the Word of God, testing your Bible knowledge, for there being prophets that who are women in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? True or false? True. Is there any precedent in the Word of God? It talks about the older sisters teaching the younger sisters. Is that true?
Oh, yes.
It is. Yeah, I'm glad you said it. Let it go. I miss Impundu Mutala. What about the sisters studying the Word together and teaching the children and the grandchildren? Is there precedence for that in the Word of God? There is. There's right here in the book of 1 Timothy. We have one of our greatest in 2 Timothy. And in the book of Acts, we'll see his mother and grandmother. It's referenced. The faith that was first in your grandmother and your mother, and I'm certain is also in you. But I don't see a precedence for women in authority over men in the church structure. I have to say it. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. And I told those brothers that we met with from Fuller Seminary, I said, I just don't see it. I think we're wasting our time here. We're brothers in Christ, and let's not waste our time over an argument that I don't see in the Word of God. If you can show it to me in the Word of God, then we'll consider it. Now, this is, we're talking about in this chapter that we're going to read here, chapter 5. We hope to get through verse 16. We're going to talk about some family relationships, the family in the house of God, and some practical matters. And before we do that, I'd like to read one verse, that Matthew 10, there's actually two or three verses here, 34 through 36. And Jesus said this, and it's good to remember this, that it's not all kumbaya in the church life, so to speak. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, that's an unusual comment, because a lot of they must, just like us, they must have been a little perplexed in what he was talking about. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, I hope to make sense of this verse that we just opened up with as we go through chapter 5 here, and especially these first 16 verses, which let's read right now. And by the way, I want to remind you, and I know you can read, and you can listen, and you can pray at the same time as we're going through, kind of like eating. You can do it. It's possible. So I'm asking as we go through that you do that, that you pray for the message here, pray for us hearing and responding to these practical issues of life. Okay. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and is left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you as we come to the Word of God, and that it is timeless, it's eternal. Lord, it has the ability to minister to our hearts right where we're at, right today. So that's what we're asking, Lord. Just for me, for all of us here, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit moves upon us and helps us, gives me utterance and the ability to hear, Lord, and not just to hear, but to respond to the things that are heard. So, Lord, we commit all of these things into your hands, and we say, just like you said, we can't do anything without you. We know that, so we need your help in every way, in Jesus' name. Okay, so I said in previous messages, there's two 3:16s. It's the easy thing to think of, which I think are core verses out of the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. There's another, of course, there's quite, if you go through the Bible, make a little study sometime, go through and look at the 3:16s that are in the Bible. It's pretty amazing. Well, we talked about 3:16 in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, but let's go back to verse 15, because I think it applies to what we're going through right now. 3:15 of the book of 1 Timothy. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And this is what I would like us to focus on. This is what Paul is writing Timothy, who has kind of a daunting task to take over from our brother Paul, because you know what was happening. We saw it in the book of Corinthians. You know, it's the tendency of human nature is to do what? Compare. Well, he's not Paul, not Apollos, not Cephas. He's Timothy. But Timothy needed instruction here with this group, and Paul gave great instruction for all of us from the Word of God, that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, that you may know. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4:2. Again, another word to Timothy from Paul. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Long suffering, I think, is interchangeable in this case in church life with love. Long suffering and love, I'm adding that, and teaching the Word of God. So here we find, back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, the exhortation that we see in 2 Timothy 4:2. This is what he says. Do not rebuke an older man. Now, we've got older men in our fellowship now. We had one just went to be with the Lord. I couldn't believe he was born in, I think, the 20s. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's a long life. Praise the Lord. But, you know, he was a faithful brother that came to these brothers' meetings to the end. And Paul, for the most part, and if not all part, pretty much, he had his facilities with him. He had a blessed life. And right to the end, he was sharing Jesus with everyone. We heard that very clearly yesterday. It's a good thing when we get older, we love Jesus more and not less. That's the way to finish good, you know. We don't all start off so great that way, but it sure is good when you finish that way and everyone can see it. But, you might say, we're tempted to say in our brothers' meetings, well, this old geezer's off his rocker. I'm going to let him have it. Don't laugh. We have to be, everyone has to be careful how we treat one another. It's important. Or to love him as a father, encourage and exhort him is what he's telling to Timothy, because there are going to be some things that are out of order. It's better to do it in private if you can too, one-on-one. Look, even somebody like Apollos, who is a great speaker, who did he have to be approached by on the side? Hey, somebody say it aloud. Yeah, Aquila and Priscilla, they approached him. What did they do? They took him aside, the Word of God says, and explained the way more clearly. I'm paraphrasing. You can go look, but that's basically it. So certainly, okay, here's a hobby horse a little bit. Certainly don't do it via text message. Now we laugh. I think this is important. or even by email. You know, I fear text messages and email in today's world. You know why? Because oftentimes things are misread. Even in business, I can't stand the text. You know why? What happened to me on Friday, I had guys out on a job, they were putting a sign up, and it came through wrong. We're putting up the glass next, you know, because he was dictating on the thing. I just about lost my mind because that wasn't the right order, you know, and I right away called. Oh yeah, that's just my text message gone. Well, that happens. We got to be careful. I think it's one-on-one. We have the pattern there. So what I'm going to say is take me off the church thread group text messages. I got one recently that came through 6 months after the fact. And I'm going, what's going on? I didn't know anything about it, you know, all that. Was a leftover message I found out. I guess it has its place, but be careful. That's all I'm saying. Let's move on to what he says here. Younger men as brothers. Now, this is interesting. Timothy, from all everything we can tell, he's probably, I'm going to take a wide range. I could take what I think he was, but he's probably somewhere between 30 and 40 years old when you put together the events that had happened here in history in the New Testament. And he's telling the younger brother that the younger brothers, younger than you, they're co-heirs to life. They're equal with you. Treat them as brothers. Don't treat them any other way. Don't show partiality, which we'll get into next time from the Word of God, but treat them equally. Encourage them in that way. Actually, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord is what I think Paul, he said in the book of Ephesians, and I think it was what he's saying right here. You know, we have to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Moving on, verse 2, older women as mothers. Now, some of you may or may have not seen some of these videos by Ray Comfort where he shares the gospel. And one of the things he often says to people, have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Use his name as a cuss word. And almost everyone will admit, it's amazing out of his gentleness and kindness, he gets people to pretty much to commit to, confess to everything in front of them. Because I really think he does it with a lot of love. And he says, well, have you ever taken your mom's name as a cuss word? You know what they all say? Never. And he goes, well, why haven't you done that? Well, because I love my mom and I respect my mom and I wouldn't take her name as a cuss word. Well, that's what he's saying here. Treat the older women as mothers with respect. Now, we're going to reference a couple of stories in the Bible which teach this exact principle. You know who actually taught? You know, there weren't many things that were said from the cross, right? But this is what Jesus said in John, records John 19, we've heard it before, 26, 27. Maybe some of you haven't heard this before. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, that's a very unusual thing because we know the brothers and the sisters of the Lord, what happened to them? They all, after he was risen from the dead, till one, I believe, accepted him. This is very unusual. This is a proof of the gospel. They were there in the book of Acts, in the upper room. They believed he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. I have no idea how Mary could stand there. That took a lot of faith on her part. and watch that. That was a fulfillment of the prophecy that came through the mouth of Simeon to the mom. A sword, I think, I'm paraphrasing, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So the Lord showed, this is a perfect example of the way we are to treat the older sisters in our fellowship. And in this case, the Lord gave the responsibility not to his natural family, but to a brother that lived that last 3 years of his ministry with him. Highly unusual, but it shows what kind of a relationship we are in with the Lord. Okay, let's move on to the next, which is younger women as sisters with all purity. Now, younger sisters with all purity. You know what makes, now, I don't know if we have any younger men here today, but what I would say, and this is what I would say to any young man, you know what makes you attractive to a woman? Following Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. There's really no other way. This is what it's about. This is why we're together today, is we are following Jesus. But with that responsibility that Timothy could take, he had to be charged to stay pure in this relationship, to not take advantage of this situation. And you know, if you think about it, we all know it, and unfortunately it's happened too many times. Nothing will destroy a church more than the leadership being caught in adultery. It's happened. There's a church up by us right now. You'll know, some of you will know who I'm talking about, in Monrovia, and this happened. And you know what now has happened to the church is basically dissolved. It really affects. But now I just want to say this. The church is not one person. The church is a hospital. We believe that. And the church is God's house, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I think what God is saying here, all the saints are precious cargo. Every saint, young, old, in between. Now, it's kind of funny. Somebody texted me last night, and they texted me where I live, where Shohei Ohtani lives. And we're just really close to each other where we live. And I go, oh, well, okay. But, you know, he's pretty famous right now. The Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. He's one of the better baseball players that's ever lived, probably. We'll see over the history, over time. But did you know that you're certainly way more famous? Every saint in the house of God is way more famous than Shohei Ohtani. Is there any biblical precedence for that? There is. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Somebody that comes to the Lord Jesus. We're known in the heavenly. You know what? When Shohei Ohtani hits his 60th home run or whatever he's going to hit, you know, that 50-50 thing he did, I doubt anyone took notice in the heavenly. See what I'm saying? In perspective, precious cargo. The saints of God, all of us are precious cargo. We need to have mercy to one another, be kind to one another. Lord, help us. And this is what Timothy's being charged with from Paul. Okay, let's move on to verse 3. Got to make some progress if we're going to go here. Honor widows that are really widows. What the heck? Is when I first read that, I'm going, what do you mean honor widows that are really widows? That's an unusual statement. Isn't everyone just a widow? Well, this has to do with something very specific. And well, the really the rest of the time, verse 3 through 16, is talking about this subject. It's pretty amazing. It's dealt with in the Word of God. Verse 4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now, I believe this section is timeless and runs through every generation. I don't think we can say this applied only then and doesn't apply today. We have to be very careful. And I'm going to prove this, I hope, through the scripture as we look at this subject. Now, I mentioned this before, but my mom came from a rough background. I'm just going to say that, very rough. And she had a wild mom. And she had 6 brothers and sisters, 7 of them total. And they all, save one, abandoned their mother at the end of her life. My mom didn't. She stood by her side. Not because she deserved it, because she was her mother. And God, she knew that's what God wanted her to do. It was that simple. I think she probably knew this, has read some of this before and knew it was her responsibility. In a certain way, it's innate in human nature. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we have it crafted here, but we know through civilizations and history, people have taken care of the elderly. Society in a whole now, for whatever reason, does not give the same respect to the elderly, I believe. And I see that this is not, in verse 4, necessarily directed just to the... is talking about widows who are in the church. And we're going to be specific about it because Paul's specific about it. But it's not necessarily saying only believing children. I don't see this in verse 4. It's practical advice. So you know what happens in one of our brothers' meetings? And this is good. This is a good thing, you guys. We can take encouragement from this. Because it's right out of 1 Timothy chapter 5 here. What happens when there's a widow that we know of and we want to share with that widow? What's one of the first questions we'll hear from one of the brothers? And somebody will ask that question and go, oh, that's a little rough. What's the question? I want that some of the brothers to say it. Do they have any children or grandchildren or relatives that can help before we help? This is from the Word of God. This is the question we're supposed to ask. We're not just supposed to do it out of sentiment. It feels good. We should do it. You know, now we maybe give a love gift, but especially when it talks about support that we're going to talk about on a more regular basis. It's a good question. Okay, let's move on to verse 5. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication night and day. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that happens to me often when I preach the Word of God. And this is true. A verse out of the chapter I'm going to speak on, somebody comes up and speaks to me and they don't even know it. It happened again yesterday. And it was this verse, verse 5, continues in supplication and prayers night and day. Now, we have a crisis going on in our family right now. More than one, I guess you'd say. But one. And a certain saint was burdened over my daughter, I'll tell you who it is, over my daughter, and came up to me and they said, I can't. He says, I'm burdened about this. He says, I wake up in the middle of the night. You know what I'm doing? I'm praying for her. I wake up in the morning, I'm praying for her. All day, I'm praying for her. Now, this is what it is, right here, verse 5. Trust in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Now, this is what Paul's saying. This kind of person, a widow, is qualified to get help from the saints, so to speak. He's trying to kind of narrow the list so it's not... He's narrowing the list. We'll just go through the list here. Let's turn another example of this out of the Word of God. We already talked about Simeon. Let's turn to chapter 2 of Luke, starting at verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess. There it is, a prophet, New Testament prophet, or Mid-Testament, we want to call it, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. I love that, how they put all those details in there. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers. There it is again, night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him of all for the redemption of Israel. Quite a miracle. This woman was able to immediately recognize the Lord. And she was of a great age, the Bible says. We're talking about age here in this section of 1 Timothy, back to 1 Timothy. She was of great age, the Bible says. So I'm just going to take an estimate. It could have been younger. It could have been a little bit older. But let's say she was 16 when she got married. And she lived with her husband for how many years, it said? Seven. So she was 23 at that point, let's say. Then she lived another how many years? 84 years. So she was 107 years old, probably, about, at this time. So she was of great age. Now, to put this in perspective, it's much greater than 107 today. Why do I say that? Well, because you can go back in history from, and you know what the average lifespan was in the Roman world of that time? 25 years old. Now, why? Because so many children died. Young because of the various illnesses. But they said if you made it to 5 years old, the average that you would live would be 45, maybe if you're lucky, 50 years old. So that is a really great age, 107 years during that generation. But she was known, and as this brother shared with me yesterday, for prayer. Andrew Murray said this about prayer. We must believe that God in the mystery of prayer has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring its power down to earth. I want to read that one more time. We must believe that God in the mystery of prayer has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring its power down to earth. 1 Corinthians that we just went through, chapter 3, 9 says this about precious cargo. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And these sisters, is what Paul's saying here to Timothy, are co-workers in the faith. Ones that have proven themselves. These sisters of prayer. Again, is Timothy hearing from Paul to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching? And this is a specific thing about widows. Now, let's move on to verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Now, one brother said, as I was reading through a commentary, is, and he just simplified it this way. Well, the sisters here in verse 6 are certainly not Christian. That's an easy way to get out of the problems of life. And it's an easy way to get away from the question that Paul asked Todd when he was a young believer. You know, it is a little bit of an unnerving thing. But today, and today maybe more than most ages we've lived in, because of the, without going into the details, just everything in the way the world is, the digital age, is I think both men and women are open to immorality, and we have to guard against it with all purity, because we are in that age, which might have even been more immoral than the time here that Timothy was living in, right now that we live in. But talking about this verse, let's move on. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide, there's the command exhorting again. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Again, example, and it's out of Mark 7, 10 through 13. This happened. It was happening amongst the people there of the age that Paul was writing to Timothy. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you've handed down, and many such things you do. I think what Jesus is saying, at least to me, and I hopefully to you, is that the word of God doesn't change. This taking care of one another and our family members, I'm going to personalize it there, has to, and especially the elderly amongst us, is timeless. It's not just for that generation. Move on to verse 9. Do not let a widow under 6 years old be taken into the number unless she has been the wife of one man. Now, I do believe that this changes because the life expectancy changes. So I think that a 60-year-old woman in that time was very old, was beyond the natural life expectancy. Just somebody that was quite a bit older. I mean, if you put it in perspective today, the average woman lives 80 years old. So what would it be, 80, 90, I don't know. But the thing is that the same rule again is that the family should try to help when they can, especially when it comes to the elderly. But this also applies to our own families, especially for the husbands to provide for their family members. Move on to verse 10. Well reported for good works as she has brought up children, as she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, as she relieved the afflicted, as she had diligently followed every good work. Wow, when I were really he's really narrowing the list here, because it's age, serving God night and day, and like Brother Bob said yesterday, is she's been an example to the saints. That's all that Paul is saying to Timothy. And he's talking about helping those that are really in need, and also, guess what else he's saying? Putting them into service in the church, in the early church. Nowadays, many of us as parents are worried about our children and leaving them an inheritance, and that's not a bad thing. That's good. That's even talked about in the Bible. But there is only one real inheritance, and we know, you know what I'm going to say, that we can leave to our children. That's our faith. Because, you know, a child could be given millions of dollars and it could be squandered practically overnight. That's not going to save them. The faith that is in you, that can save them. But what I want to talk about these widows and this class of widows that Paul is alluding to is that prayer and action. This widow's life was backed up by prayer, but with action. It affected good works. You know, we may be praying for people in our family, but are we enabling bad behavior in our family? Now, what am I saying? Well, we can destroy our own testimonies if we just pray and we ask for prayer, but we never take any action. Under the guise, I hope there's not offense to what I'm saying, but under the guise of love. And I'm going to take an example because it's easy to do here. Jan, a few weeks ago, called me. She was babysitting a few months ago, probably, and she says, this kid out front that lives next to Bobby and Brittany, my son and daughter-in-law, he lit a fire in the street. What's happened is the grandparents, under the guise of love and trying to help, have taken in their drug addict son, grandson, and the whole neighborhood is the picture I want us to see. It's not just them that are suffering with this, it's the whole neighborhood. The police, they're there all the time in this neighborhood. My daughter-in-law's scared to death when Bobby's not home because what he's going to do. It's a mess. Nowadays, unfortunately in society, they will not arrest a person like this practically for anything, at least in California. If you're in Texas, you'd be in there for 30 years is my guess. But in California, they will not arrest you for just about anything drug related right now, unless you're a pusher, unless you sell drugs. So what am I saying? Are we choosing God first or family first? This is where I'm taking it back to what we shared of Jesus bringing a sword. Now, this affects every one of us. There are hard decisions that have to be made. And are we choosing Jesus first or our family first? That's all I believe Jesus was saying. He said it in a different way. Let me give another example. I'm at work probably 30 years ago, and I used to have more employees. I think I had nearly a dozen employees at that time. And I had hired somebody, was a little bit down and out, but they were turning out to be a pretty good employee. And we had a regular coffee pot around the place. And we would put our coffees around, and sometimes I guess they get mixed up. So I picked up what I thought was my coffee, but it was this employee's coffee, and I went to drink it quick, and it was full of either whiskey or some really hard drug. Now, he's the same person that drove forklifts. He wasn't my family member. You know what I said? I said, pal, goodbye. You're gone. No second chances on this. You put other people's lives at risk. Same thing came up years later with my own son, my younger son. Started to do drugs. He went into rehab or trying to get him to get help. But he did something similar to this thing. You know what I found it harder to do? Fire your own son. Because you want to keep peace in the family. But you know what? Jan and I prayed, and it became very clear to us. The Lord said you had to do this. You know what? As I prayed, and I prayed many hours through that night, as the Lord showed me, he'll go from where he is to being homeless, but I still want you to do this. Now, is that a hard choice? It was. But I had to do it because God showed me I had to do it. So this is what it is choosing God first, putting God first above all. Well, you might say, I can't take care of my mom. She wasn't a good mom. You know, she's lost her marbles. It'd be way too hard for me to kind of help out in this thing. I'll just let my sister do it. I want to be retired and just travel the world. I live my whole life to be retired. Well, good luck with that. There's no retirement for the Christian. There's just not. We're in the house of God. No such thing. And it's a good thing that we're not going to ever be retired. Very good. Okay, 11 and 12, we're going to finish up pretty soon. But refuse the younger widows, for they have begun to grow wanton against Christ. He's just saying that the Lord's not first. Having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith or their first love, and that's the book of Revelation. You have left your first love. It's not so uncommon. It's easy for any of us to slip and lose our first love towards the Lord. And for me, I just, by way of confession a little bit, is when things go exceedingly bad with a lot of trauma, I can get bummed out and kind of step back a little bit from my relationship with the Lord. Sorry to say that. I wish I was more like that song. We had a song talked about drawing near to Jesus, and I'm learning that slowly. And again, this commentator said this is just talking about unbelievers, you know. Well, no, this, we're open to be able to do this. It's our nature. So there in verse 14, it says, therefore I desire that younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully. So he was saying it's a good thing for younger widows to get married. Now, I have to use it because it's a personal example, and a lot of you here know that, but my wife was a younger widow. She was only married about how long, a year?
6 months.
6 months, and her husband died in a forest fire. Oh. Fire is pretty traumatic. But it's a good thing because the Lord brought Jan to me. I'm positive of that. In fact, I'm certain. And this is a good thing. I'm very thankful. Verse 15. For some have already turned aside after Satan. Now, to me, that's a scary verse. Because I think, I'm going to say something some of you may disagree with. That's all right. But I believe everyone's capable of turning aside to Satan in the house of God. Any believer. You only can take the disciples and those, you look at their lives and what happened. It can happen to any of us. That's what our brother Paul had shared with Todd's brother. Now, we've heard it said, and it's said in the book of Colossians and in the book of Ephesians. It's said in multiple ways. I think Phil even referenced it last week. Maybe it was somebody else the week before. But we've heard it said that we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. We heard it in a prayer today. But I fear something else in myself. And it's easy to do, to put off the new man, especially been walking with the Lord for quite a long time, and put on the old man. That's scary. I'm scared of myself. What the heck? You're probably, some of you are thinking, how is that possible? Well, I am. I'm scared of myself and what I'm capable of. I think that's a good thing. You know why? Because as Paul was saying to Todd, is our old man is in league with the devil. I just don't think we look at it at that extreme sometimes, but it is. It's an extreme thing. Aren't you glad that God has made it clear who Jesus is and what it is when you're abiding in him and the difference life makes than living on our own strength? Isn't that a good thing? That's really good. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, this is what we've been given as an inheritance, is the Lord Jesus himself. So let's finish with the verse 16. If any believing man or woman, now we are talking about believers in particular, or woman has widows, let them relieve them and not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So it's saying, take care, Christian brothers and sisters, of everyone in your family, especially your parents. Honor them with the respect that is due them. That's the words that Paul says here. You owe it to them, is what he's telling Timothy. He's telling Timothy, exhort and instruct the saints in this. It's so important in church life. I think what he's saying is, you know, don't use every excuse under the sun to not care for those that are in your family. Don't use the excuse of the Pharisees, well, I'm giving to God. If you're not taking care of your own, is what this chapter is saying, you're worse than an unbeliever. Let's put it a different way. You might say you have this great testimony, you want to share about Jesus, and I want to give you my testimony of Jesus touched my life. That's nice, but if your testimony is not lining up with our actions, we're neglecting the things that God's word makes clear. Now listen, there's a lot of ambiguity. I'm not going to say there's not in the word of God, but there's very little ambiguity in this chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. I think we'd agree as we've gone through it. So let me just close with a word of prayer, and then we have another saint or two pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, as Todd said and open, Lord, it's eternal. It's the bedrock, Lord, that we can lean upon. It's directly from you. Thank God we have it, Lord. Without it, I don't know what would happen. So we thank you for your instruction. Ask that you bless this day, Lord, and that we rejoice in it, in Jesus' name.